This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today.
We are in a series of messages on the ABCDs of success in life. And this series of messages is built around the fact that the central issue in our success in life is how we deal with the Word of God. If we're going to be able to use the Word of God in such a way as to gain the success in life, in fact, the abundant life that Jesus said He came to give us, it's going to start with us taking the Word seriously. That's what we found out the first week when we talked about acknowledging God's Word. That's the A in the ABCDs of success in life. Acknowledging God's Word in every circumstance of life. Because what we found is that God's Word has a word for us to deal with any situation in which we find ourselves. Last week, we found that not only do we need to acknowledge the Word in every circumstance, we need to believe it. Amen? If it's in the Word of God, if God said it to us, then we can count on it, and we need to simply make up our minds to believe what God said, and that means to trust in what He has said and what He has promised. Now, today, we're at the sea. Not only do we need to acknowledge God's Word in every circumstance, and not only do we need to believe that Word, but we need to confess the Word. Now, I'll tell you, the original title of my message was just going to be simply that, Confess God's Word. But God changed things around a little bit. You know, what I was going to talk about is just confessing what the Word of God says as the truth in our circumstances in life. For example, have you ever been in a situation where you felt inadequate to do what you needed to do? Anybody ever felt that way besides me? Amen, amen. Well, the Word of God says what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, there are some conditions that go with that that has to do with being willing to support the ministry of the kingdom of God. But if I meet those conditions, then I need to be, instead of confessing how I can't do something, how many of you have ever said that? I don't think I can do that. Amen. Well, the Bible says if God has called you to do it, instead of confessing I can't, what do we need to say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So when I'm facing a challenge in life, I never need to feel that it's beyond my ability to do. If God called me to do it at all, then He has given me the ability to be successful. Here's another one that I know probably hits 90% of us. How many of us have ever faced a financial challenge in our lives? No, 90%, no, 100%. Amen. Even the kids don't get as much allowance as they want. Amen. All right. What does the Word of God say? My God shall supply how much? All my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How many of us have ever gone around telling people how poor we felt, how much money we lacked, how we didn't have what we needed? Anybody ever done that kind of thing? Amen. So instead of doing that, what do we need to be saying? What needs to be coming out of our mouth? My God has promised that He's going to supply all my need. Here's another one. Any of you ever feel threatened by somebody? Somebody's trying to get to you or get you or trying to stab you in the back or talking about you behind your back. Any of you ever had that kind of, amen. Isaiah 54:17, what does it say? No weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. Amen. No weapon that's formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against me in judgment I shall condemn. He says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. I don't have to be afraid about what other people can do to me. And instead of moaning and groaning and complaining about what people are saying and what people are doing and how they're trying to do me in, I need to confess no weapon formed against me will prosper. Therefore, I can stand up, go on my way with Jesus by my side with a smile on my face, knowing that nobody's going to be able to do me in. I am not a victim. I will never be a victim. I don't care whether you like me or not. You don't have the power to victimize me. Why? Because no weapon that's formed against me will prosper. Well, see, that was going to be my message. Amen. But God turned all of that around a little bit. He gave me something that I hadn't really seen before in terms of confessing the word of God. Go with me to Luke chapter 19, the story of Zacchaeus. And as I read over his story again, God showed me something about confessing the word that I had never really seen that way before. Luke chapter 19. Zacchaeus is a little guy. And he had heard about Jesus, and Jesus is coming to town. And because he was short, he couldn't see through the crowd. So you know what he did? He ran and climbed up a tree in order to see Jesus. And Jesus looked up, saw him up there, and said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. Invited himself over for lunch. Amen. And Zacchaeus ran down the tree, took Jesus home, said, received him with joy. And then look what happened. Jesus was there, and of course Jesus spoke the word of God to Zacchaeus. And when Zacchaeus heard the word, look at what he said in verse 8 of Luke chapter 19. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Now let's just stop right there. You have to understand who Zacchaeus was. He was a tax collector. Anybody here work for the IRS? Praise God. Amen. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And in those days, tax collectors were the lowest of the low because they could cheat and they could steal in their official capacity. And so Zacchaeus was saying, now, because I have heard the word from Jesus and believed what he said, I am going to respond to that word by making this commitment. From this point forward, verse 8 again, I give half my goods to the poor. This was a rich man. Had a lot of money. And the first commitment he made was, half of what I have, I am going to give to the poor. And look at the second thing he said. If I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. I'll give them back four times what I took. What was this man saying? Something had happened to him. Something had changed in him. He heard Jesus preach the word in his household. He believed that word, and it had such an impact on him that he was willing to make these declarations that said, my life has changed, and I am going to prove it by the way I live from this point forward. And look at how Jesus responded to him. Verse 9. Then Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. Do you see what happened? Zacchaeus heard the word. He believed the word. And when he believed the word, he made a confession. He didn't just confess the truth of the word. He confessed his response to the truth of the word. And when Jesus heard his confession of how he was going to respond to the word, then Jesus said, salvation has come to this man's house. In other words, Zacchaeus confessed how he was committed to respond to the word that he heard. You know, the Bible is so clear from beginning to end about the importance of what we say. Proverbs chapter 18, verses 20 and 21 say this. Proverbs 18, verses 20 and 21. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. Death and life. In other words, your tongue, what you say, what you confess with your mouth, the Bible says will have a life or death impact on your life. I remember seeing on television a few weeks ago a documentary or a report about some young men who had been accused of murdering a girl. And this was such an interesting story. The police arrested one man, took him into the interrogation room, and kept at him and kept at him and kept. Finally, he confessed. Then circumstances worked out so that they had another suspect. So they arrested him, took him into the interrogation room, kept at him and kept at him and kept at him. Finally, he confessed. By the time they got through, they had about, it was either 7 or 8 people that they had arrested for this one crime. They finally got some evidence, actually tracked down the guy who did it. He was already in jail. He confessed. I did it. And I did it by myself. None of these other people had anything to do with it. So you know what happened to those other guys who had confessed this crime? Well, of course, they let them go. No, they didn't. They're in jail right now. They interviewed one of the jurors. And what the juror said was, well, they presented all this evidence that showed that they couldn't have possibly have done it, that they couldn't have been there. There was no evidence that says this young man was actually there on that scene. But the thing we couldn't get around was his confession. And he said, but look, they coerced that confession out of me. But the jury said, you confessed. We believe what you said then and not what you say now. Now, here's the point I want you to see. These young men's lives have been forever changed by the confession of their mouth. What they said has changed the entire course of their life. And that's what the Word of God is telling us. Not just when you're in the police station, but in any circumstance of life, what we confess, what we say, what comes out of our mouth has an impact that's going to direct the future course of our life. When I confess how I am going to respond to the Word of God, when I stand up and say, this is what I'm doing as a response to the Word that I've heard, you know what I do? I make myself accountable. I make myself accountable to that Word that I have heard and believed and now say I'm going to put into practice in my life. When Priscilla and I got married, we stood up in front of the minister and we made some vows to one another. To love one another and to honor one another, to care for one another, to forsake all others and to cling only to one another. Now suppose, just suppose, this never happens of course, but just suppose Priscilla made me mad one day. And just about that time, some sweet thing comes up to the door of the church and knocks on the door. And she says, I'm just been interested in your church. I'd like to talk to you about it. And we sit down and we start talking. And she said, you know, you're looking kind of sad today. What's going on? And I start telling her my troubles. And she starts saying, oh, yes, I understand. Oh, yeah, I don't know why she would want to treat you that way. And you know what I started thinking? Well, maybe I need to spend some more time with her. Now, what's wrong with that? I mean, can a man spend time with anybody he wants to spend time with? Not me. Amen. Amen. Well, why not? I stood up and I made a confession. I made a confession before God, before the pastor, before the whole church, that from this point forward, she is the only woman in my life. I made that confession, and guess what? I am now held accountable to that confession that I made. Look, it does a couple of things. Number one, it keeps me accountable. See, there is no way I can fool myself that it's okay for me to start spending time with another woman. Why? Because I know what I said. Amen? But here's the other thing. Not only do I give myself the right to hold myself accountable, I gave her the right to hold me accountable. Now, men, how many of you really like it when your wife holds you accountable? In other words, she tells you that you blew it, that you messed up, and she tells you how you need to fix it. Come on, how many of you really like that? Don't even try. Don't even try. Look, none of us want that. It goes deep. I don't want no woman telling me what to do. But when I stood up and made that vow, I signed up for her to hold me accountable. You know, men, sometimes we get this idea, I'll go where I want to go, with whom I want to be with, anytime I want to go, and it's none of her business. Well, that's a lie. You made yourself accountable. Amen? And she has the right to hold you accountable. But it goes even beyond that. The pastor who married us, when I stood up and I made those vows, if I start messing up on those vows, you know what I expect? Sooner or later, I expect a phone call from him. Why? Because by standing up in front of him and making those vows, I made myself accountable to him. It goes even further than that. Everybody who was in the church that day and heard those vows, guess what? I have made myself accountable to them by what I said. And if I start messing up on my vows, I could hear from any one of them, and they have the right to come and say, Ryan, what do you think you're doing? You promised this to Priscilla, and you have not got the right to back out of it. Goes even beyond that. Here I am today, standing before you. And you can see this ring. So even if you weren't at the wedding ceremony, you know that I made vows, amen? So what would happen if you found out I was starting to spend time with some sweet little thing besides my wife? I hope that you would hold me accountable. The bottom line is this. I am accountable because of what I said on that day in making that confession, saying because of what the Word of God tells me about marriage, this is what I am going to do. When I made that confession before the whole church, when I did that, I was making myself accountable. In other words, my confession of my response to the Word of God makes me accountable for what I do about what I said. Look back in Luke 19 again at what Zacchaeus said. Luke 19, verse 8. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." Now suppose, think about this. Now this is a pretty big deal. What if Zacchaeus, you know, he's feeling good about himself today. But suppose he goes to bed, he wakes up in the morning, and what do you think is going through his mind? What have I done? I said, I'm going to give away half of what I've got. And suppose then he decides, well, you know, I think half is a little bit much. Well, why don't I give away 5% of it? Suppose he did that. What do you think might happen? The next time that he's walking through the town, guess what? The people who were there and heard him say it, Zacchaeus, how's it going? They're giving away half of your stuff. I still see you got two cars in the garage there. When is one of them going? And if Jesus is there, guess what Jesus is going to do? He's going to confront him. Isn't that right? Jesus will confront him because he made himself accountable. And what that means is he can't go back on it. Once I say it out to the world, say it in public, once I say this is what I'm doing, from that moment I'm accountable and I cannot go back. I have to tell you something. I don't want to be accountable. Anybody want to say amen to that? I don't mean about me, I mean about you. I don't want to be accountable. If I have the intention of doing something at a certain time, and the time comes, and I don't feel like it, I want to be able to just sit back and say, I don't feel like it right now, I'm not going to do it. I want to have freedom. I want to have flexibility. If I change my mind, I want to be able to change it. If I decide I don't want to do it, I want to be able to not do it. In other words, I don't want to be accountable to anybody but me. See, the bottom line is this. Zacchaeus made a confession of what it was that he was committed to based upon the word that had been preached to him. But we are usually not willing to make that kind of confession because we do not want to be held accountable. It's the power of what I have said that holds me accountable. That's the way we operate here at Covenant Community Church. All of you are here today. Those of you who are members, because you have said at some point in your life that you are committed to growing and developing in Jesus Christ, becoming the man, becoming the woman that he created you to be. You're committed to that. You're committed to doing what it takes to develop in your spiritual life. You've made that statement. And guess what? That's the way we deal with you. Amen. If you're not here for several Sundays in a row and you're a member of this church, somebody's going to call and say, how's things going? What's happening with you? Why? Because you said, I'm committed. I want to grow. I want to develop. And part of that growth and development, of course, is being part of the body. Amen? And so we just won't let you sit and drift away. We're going to find out what's going on. Why? Not because we have power over you, but because of what you said. You said, this is what I want in my life. And because of that, you gave me, as the pastor of this church, the right to hold you accountable in that area of your life. That's what it means to be a member of a church. Just like I became accountable to Priscilla simply by standing up and making my vows in front of the church. Well, when you become a member of a church, you are making a vow to be accountable for your spiritual life to that church. And we shy away from that. You know what it really comes down to? It really translates into lack of commitment. You see, if I'm really committed, I don't have a problem standing up and saying it. Amen? Let me make a confession right here. Lord willing, unless something totally unforeseen happens, I will be here next Sunday to preach the message here and conduct the service. Now, I'm willing to make that statement. I'm willing to confess that. How many of you know I don't always feel like coming? If you don't know, let me tell you. I don't always feel like coming. There are mornings, Sunday mornings, I'd rather stay in bed. I love you all. Hallelujah. There's some mornings I don't particularly want to see your face. Amen. But I am willing to stand up and make this confession. By the grace of God, I will be here next Sunday unless something totally unforeseen happens. Why? Because I am utterly, absolutely committed. God has called me to this place. I know that. And because God has called me, I am committed to being here. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Doesn't matter how I feel about it. Doesn't matter if somebody calls me up on the phone and says, you know, they got a great something or other down at the flea market. Why don't you go to the flea market with me today? How would you like that, you know, if during the announcement period, somebody came up and said, well, Pastor just called. He won't be here today. He had to go to the flea market. No, you see, I'm committed. So I don't have a problem with making that statement. Going back to when Priscilla and I got married, Suppose I'm saying to her, Priscilla, I love you. I'm committed to you. In fact, I'm committed to you for the rest of my life. But I don't want to marry you. I'll live with you, and I'll love you. But I don't want to marry you. Now, does anybody have any idea what's going on? I just told her I'm totally committed to her. Can you evaluate that statement? I was lying through my teeth. Amen? Isn't that right? If I say I'm committed, but I'm not willing to stand up before people and before God and publicly confess that commitment in order that I may be held accountable, guess what? My commitment is a lie. And that's what happens to us so often. We want to be able to say, I'm committed to God. I'm committed to doing what He wants me to do. I'm committed to the body of Christ. I'm committed to whatever it is, but please don't hold me accountable. And therefore, even though I say I'm committed, I'm not going to say what I'm going to do in response to that commitment. What is it that you know God's word says you should do, but you have never been willing to confess because you didn't want to be held accountable? Let me give you some examples, some possibilities here. Since I'm the pastor of Covenant Community Church, let's talk about the church first. What are you willing to confess regarding the church based on the Word of God so that you can be held accountable? For example, the word of God says that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So what would I be willing to publicly confess about attending worship services and Bible study? You see where it goes? Zacchaeus said, this is what I do. So now, what are you willing to say about yourself with regard to your church? Are you willing to make the confession publicly? The Word of God says that I need to focus on the assembling of myself together with other believers. And therefore, this is who I am. I'm going to be there on Sunday morning. I'm going to be there on Wednesday evening. The Word of God says that the first 10% of my increase, the tithe, belongs to the Lord. So what am I willing to publicly confess about my giving? The Word says that God has given me gifts and callings to serve Him through His church. So what am I willing to publicly confess about my commitment to serve God through His church? You see, these are the places where the rubber meets the road. It's easy to be general and say, you know, I'm committed to God. But Zacchaeus was specific. This is what I do. What are you willing to say? This I do.